You can tell when I talk about these things, I get excited. And I'll be very, very, I'll admit that, because this rediscovery, if you will, it's not really an invention. The Holy Spirit invented that 2,000 years ago when the first church life began there in Jerusalem. So no one can do better than the Spirit and invent this New Testament way of meeting for of the church, of the Christians. But it is rediscovered, and it has been rediscovered over time, even in the last 2,000 years here and there, especially with those people that are believers that are not associated with so what we call Christianity, the humanly organized Christianity, that mainly pay attention to big meetings, what we call just a facade. Brother Lee calls it just a facade, nice looking facade. Put on your Sunday best and do your thing. That kills all the organic function of the body that really facilitates the hierarchical function, of that is basically of the clergy laity system, and in so doing, basically ruining God's economy and God's the building up of the church. And so this whole matter of the practice of the church life, yes, it is outward. Yes, it is. Even Brother Lee would say this is the leaves and branches as opposed to the trunk. That's true. But look, you have a spirit, you have a soul, but don't you have a body? And without your body, where would your spirit and soul be? You see, brothers, we need to be, and sisters, we need to be practical. We care very much for the reality, the things in reality, the spiritual realm, the divine and mystical realm, where we are, absolutely. But it must find expression. God is eventually manifested in the flesh of a God-man, of Jesus, who had even the likeness of the flesh of sin. What do you say about that? So people were stumbled because of that expression that doesn't meet their kind of concept. So today, this manifestation of God in the flesh is anymore done through the church, not just, in other words, not just the individual God-man Christ, Jesus 2,000 years ago, but today in his church. We are today the many begotten. We are today the corporate Christ, the body Christ. And so this Christ, this corporate Christ has an expression. That expression is found in the local churches, you see, practically, with humans, with people, but they are the God-men. Not only spiritually in reality, but even practically. So you read the New Testament epistles, it's all talking to people, talking about their behavior, talking about their living, talking about their walk, talking about things that people can see. And eventually it says they are even the seen of angels. Am I right? Even angels see it. And so, brothers, we cannot be satisfied just with spirituality. We need a proper practice to express, to demonstrate that spirituality. And that's why Brother Lee spent so much time, 15 years in all, between the 80s and 90s, well, maybe not 15 years, but more like 10 years at least, in all, to try to bring forth something. Because the church, the recovery by then has become old and routine and lukewarm. Really, he was looking to the Lord to find a way to have a breakthrough. And so these fellowship, all these kind of outlines that you get, and you will see if you get the recommended readings, are all from that era, all from that era. But they're not new inventions, all right? This is not the Taiwan way, all right? This is something that is in the Bible. This scripture revealed, all right? It is God ordained. The principles, I mean. Expressions may vary. Manifestations will differ from church to church. Even within the same church, different groups will meet differently, will have different, expressions. But the essence, the commission, the characteristics are the same as what is revealed in the Word. Now, with that, I'll just see how far I can go. If what we cannot finish, we'll try to do it next time. Now we come to how these groups are formed, how they're formed, all right? Now, the first one, Roman numeral, is the most important. The group should be formed by way of prayer. You would hope for some kind of formula. You would hope for some kind of instruction or guidelines. No, the groups has to be formed by prayer because we don't do things by ourselves anymore. We don't do things by a org chart. You know what I mean? An organizational chart. Because we're not a worldly organization. We are an organism of the triune God, and we do everything in oneness with God in an organic way. And there's no other way for us to be one with the Lord as prayer. As prayer. So groups are formed by prayer. You pray. You have a burden, brothers or sisters. You start with prayer. You don't start with doing something. You start with praying and praying much, much and thorough prayer. Specifically, though, not general. Lord, what about the groups in my church? What about our present group that we have? Lord, are you satisfied with this? Are you happy with this? How can we improve? How can we be calibrated? How can we line up with what you want more? Lord, I'm burdened for this. We must have a renewal. We must have a revival. We must be able to fulfill our commission. We must have a higher and deeper level of building up and offering up. Lord, do this. How should we, what should we do? Pray. The elders have to pray a lot. Elders, you, I would say, forget about other things, many other things. Give yourself to do this. There will be a whole Roman numeral about this matter. The importance of the elders taking the lead, themselves experiencing this. All right. So prayer. A, if we desire to start a group meeting or group, I would say, we should first pray. We should do everything by prayer and according to prayer. We have no other way, brothers. This last week we saw in the book of Acts again, the only three things we have is the Spirit, the Scriptures, and prayer. That's what we have. All right? But I would say here, not just token prayer, not just perfunctory prayer, not just minimal prayer, that does not work. It has to be desperate prayer. It has to be thorough prayer. Even just about groups. B, in seeking a partner to form a group, this is the two and three, right? Find a partner first. Find someone, or I use the word companion. There were maybe a companion already. You have already. You don't need to find even, or two. All right? To be a two or three, start there. We should not select someone according to our natural preference. This is always the snare, all right? Instead, we should pray and wait. Just commit this to prayer. Lord, who, when, how? You pray. You just pray and be one with the Spirit. The Spirit will work. See, after we have a companion or a partner, we should pray ourselves together into the proper spiritual heavenly intimacy. Those are words that are carefully chosen. Okay. This is not just to have a few buddies, you know? No. This is eventually that you can, as a small companion group, to have spiritual intimacy that touches the spiritual and heavenly realm. That's the realm that we belong to. We're not here to do social work. We're not here to carry out humanitarian things. We're here doing a spiritual work, something heavenly, all right? Then we need another 4 or 5 group members. So more than just now 2 or 3, now 4 or 5, that's where I get the number 6, right? 1 plus 4 or 5, right? Maybe right there you have 2 companion groups. Don't take what I'm saying as a formula. I'm just illustrating. But in a very spontaneous way through prayer, a very organic way through prayer, to select these additional members also requires much prayer and labor. Well, I'm not so sure I like the word select, because it means certain things, like you choose, right? When we choose according to our own preference, that is always not good. But to be aware of, to look for, right? And the Lord will make clear. The Lord will, you know, even in outward circumstances, bring some together in this way with a common burden. To select these additional members also requires much prayer and labor. Don't underestimate the labor part. If you want to do nothing, nothing will happen. I can assure you that. But if you want something good to happen, you have to do something good. You have to labor for it. And the group life, if you really see it, is main and chief and center and at the heart of a build-up church life and a offering-up church life. There's no way around that. Since this is a principle. These are patterns in the scriptures. And even this absolutely matches our experiences. Be ready to pray and labor. D, we should not form groups merely according to geography. It's so easy, even for elders, to put the pins or dots on the map in your fellowship room, and you start to say, oh, okay, let's split the church up in this way or that way. Well, I wouldn't say that is absolutely not a factor, but not merely according to geography or according to the same age. Okay, this is college group, this is old people's group, whatever. Does that mean that is not a factor at all? No, but not merely, all right? And we surely should not do it according to preference, choose people that you like. And that's, brothers, that's how we are saved from our natural life, our natural taste and choice, even in the church life, in who we are built up with. The way of choosing according to self-interest always brings in death. That's a quote. In the end, if you have your way to choose according to your self-interest, death, something not so good would be the outcome. Now, does that mean if there's someone that you're close to, you're really companions, well, let's say you and your spouse, for example, right? That is, you know, your preference. No, brothers and sisters, learn to be with the Lord. Learn to be flexible, okay? Learn to know and respect your environment and situations, all right? All this need to be taken into consideration. So it's not something that you just do in a rush, in a quick way, because this is for the long term. This is for the long term. Two, because we are in a transitionary period of time. This is 1990, okay, 1992, when Brother Lee started the Vital Group. We already have groups, a lot of groups in Southern California. So Brother Lee said, we're in a transitory period of time, changing from the old way to the new way. It may be necessary to have two types of group meetings, the group meetings that already exist and the new group meetings or groups that we want to form. We may be in that, we're in a constant transitory situation, aren't we? I know that there should be groups already in your church, but are those groups the right groups? Are those groups active? Are those the groups, you know, just maintaining and becoming something old? Are those groups really active and functional? So all of that you have to consider. The first type of group meeting is composed of saints who have been meeting in groups for a long time. This type of group meeting is composed of saints who are in full agreement with the new way, but due to their habit in the old way, they take the new way according to the steps of the old way. Well, sorry, these things happen, all right? So it's not in the right or wrong. We're not in the right or wrong, huh? But conditionally, condition. You need to, especially the elders, need to know the condition of the different groups. Two, we should not annul these existing groups. Don't do that. We should try to help them. Gradually, they will pick up some of the aspects of the new way. You know, in our experience in Irvine here for many years now, existing groups need to be renewed. You know, every year we tell all the groups to have a audit, to have a time of consideration and prayer for the next year, especially for the many groups where I am that takes care of the campus, you know, work. We have a school year, all right? We got freshmen coming in, we got transfers coming in, we've got people leaving for the training or going to work, whatever. Every year, there's a new situation. So we cannot just go on like that. It is very, very healthy to have a regular kind of a consideration, all right, of just where we are, to take stock on our group's condition. And this sometimes result in, for example, the group multiplying into two. That happens. This, we have cases where we feel we need to move this couple over to that group to strengthen that group. These are very practical, but not done in a, you know, unilateral way by anybody, but through fellowship. All right. So when you have certain groups that are old and kind of becoming stale, it's the same people. Well, it depends. Sometimes it's better not to touch that. You know, sometimes maybe there's some senior saints. They are enjoying, you know, reading the life study or whatever. We are not here to try to, just to mess things up or just to do something new to revolutionize things. No, we must have a proper all-round consideration. All right. The other type of group is formed with newly baptized ones. I would just say with new ones, people who are not in any group, like in my case, in our case, these new students that are coming in. They're not in any group. They're believers. They're even some of them are church kids. So how do we add them to our group? It's not an easy, simple thing. We don't just go around and assign them, That's easier to do. We welcome them and we even tell them we have many groups here. Just take your time to visit us. You can go to this group or that group, and eventually they will settle in one. All right? So mind your situation. Mind your particular situation in all of this. One, as we take care of the new ones, we must learn to do two things at the same time. While we're in the homes of the new ones to feed them, this is appointments, visitation, we're also here endeavoring to bring them into the realization and practice of the group meeting. In other words, we in the end care for people, care for the saints, care for new believers, care for sinners, one-on-one, and then maybe two on one or two or three. But our goal is always to bring them into the group life with us. Not the Lord's Day meeting first, but the group life for a period of time, right? And when they feel they're attached to our group, when they feel they identify with group, that they have a sense this is their community, right? This is their family now. All right. Two, the home meeting is mainly to cherish, nourish, and to feed the new ones. Home meeting is the acronym for appointments, for visitation, right? We're meeting in other people's places. May not be a home. It may be, but it may not be. By the way, if the Lord opens the way for us in our gospel work and in our recovery work of dormant saints, that they open their home for this kind of appointments and fellowship, oh, do it, saints. Nothing better than meeting in their place, in their turf, so to speak, where they feel comfortable and they feel to invite you into that realm. That means a lot. That means a lot. Eventually, they may even open their home or their apartment for some gathering, two or three, or eventually maybe even the size of a group. All these varies, brothers, huh? There's not one way. But the group meeting has other elements besides cherish, nourish, and feed, such as fellowship, intercession, care, shepherding, and mutual teaching. We're going to get into this more. A group does these things. Intercessory prayer. In our group meeting, we say at the end, sometimes, often, after the time or the meeting was almost over, do we have some prayer burdens? Anyone can pray for my mother who is ill. Pray for, do you see what I mean? Pray, a lot of students pray for my exam, midterm next week. Whatever. These things, times of intercession and care, and even shepherding one another. Of course, there's the element of mutual teaching in a group meeting that is important. We'll get there. Three, as we are with them, we should try to add these elements of the group meetings into the home meetings, meaning into our times with them in their place. When these elements are brought in, the home meetings changes into a group meeting. So it is possible that a small two or three gathering with some saints caring for some new ones or dormant ones, would blossom and flourish and become a group meeting. That's wonderful. That is classic, right? That is a wonderful thing to happen. And this is entirely not assigned by elders, not at all. It spring into being organically, and this is a wonderful way for groups to start. All right. Because behind the scenes, you can understand there will be a lot of fellowship and prayer. Okay, three. Oh my goodness, my time is up. I'll just finish three and we can go. A, in carrying out, because it's a word for the elders. In carrying out the small groups, the elders need to spend time to visit every small group meeting to see their strengths and weaknesses, to understand their needs, and to try to fill in what is lacking. You see, brothers, leading brothers, that's your job. Your job is not just to do Levitical work, as important as they are, or, as I often said, write checks and make announcements, make schedules. Our work is to build up the group church life. And you need to know where the groups are. You would visit them. You would talk to the saints. You would do your best to meet the need, because it's a building work. This is a building work. When you have a good, healthy group, dear brothers and sisters, that becomes a source of blessing, real channel of blessing, of increase. All right, B, some groups may have strong strengths, and another group may not even have one strong one. In this kind of situation, there may need to reallocate saints. However, it would be best for the Lord himself to vitalize some members in the weaker group. So, again, so there are many things to consider. My main burden is just for the elders in these days to mean business, to pick this up as a definite project for a year or two to build up the group life in your locality. All right, dear saints, I will just stop here. Thank you.